The following is a special presentation of WCHL News. Now, a WCHL News special with Jim Hebner and UNC Chancellor Carol Folt. Chancellor Folt has officially been on the job for 4 months. And in a four-part series, you'll hear, in a wide range of topics, what the Chancellor has been doing in the early days as leader of North Carolina's flagship university. Here's Jim with Chancellor Folt.
Chancellor Folt, welcome to WCHL.
It's great to be here.
Do you still feel it's appropriate to say welcome to Chapel Hill, or do you feel already that you're part of the furniture here?
I don't think I'm part of the furniture yet. I'm starting to feel like I'm meeting people for the second, third time, which is wonderful, but still a lot of new people to meet and things to learn.
After you get past the typical sound bites, when we always ask the new chancellor, we said, tell me what your impressions are. In the interest of time, I know that everybody's been wonderful to you. So we always talk about how wonderful everybody's been. When it comes to getting your hands around the job, what have been your first impressions of the scope of the job? And how much do you think so far, you're in your fifth month now, how much do you think you have your arms around it?
You know, I think the scope of the job is similar at all universities. So in a lot of ways, I came understanding what we do. But there are many more entities, so one of the things I've been trying to do with the new provost is to go around and visit all the schools. We've gone to 10 of them so far, giving us a much better
idea.
The schools on our
within
campus.
Within our university.
Public health, education, summer school, medical school, and so on. And we've spent 2 hours at each of those schools, so it's that opportunity to learn more than the superficial, to do that deep dive that has been extremely helpful.
When we sat here 5 years ago with Holden Thorpe, we said, okay, what's your job one? And he instantly said, campus security. He was just very clear. He had already thought about it. What's that? So if you've been here, he had had a little bit of a history because we had had some campus security issues, and you're arriving here new. What's your job one? What's the first thing that you want to get done here?
Well, I think that is true. It is campus security. This health and safety of the students and the people on campus is an aspect of the job that you think about every single day. When that is going well and you can feel confident, you, are, of course, are diving into everything else, the student experience, the research opportunities. I've been having a great time really learning about the town, getting to understand the local legislature, going around and starting to visit different campuses in different parts of the state, and then also getting to know the people that are in Washington. So it has quite a large scope, but that safety is right there at the top.
What's the most daunting part of your job?
I think it's daunting to embrace the fullness of an institution. There are so many parts of an institution. As chancellor, you really want to feel like you understand it. So in the beginning, it's getting that opportunity to really understand more than the superficial. I think the complex environment of higher education right now could be viewed by some people as daunting. We're trying to balance financial pressures and other. On the other hand, it's also the most exciting time possible in higher education with exploding knowledge and new opportunities. So I tend to see that on the balance as a positive.
Historically, Bill Friday once loved to say when the governors would be carrying on, he would say, Bill, the governors, they come and go, but the University of North Carolina it will be right here after this governor is gone. In that same sense, how important is the chancellor? You've got a huge bureaucracy, a big labyrinth, and certainly it was daunting for your predecessor. How important is the chancellor?
I think the chancellor has a very important role in the institution because they're given this incredible privilege of the platform, the opportunity to go to meetings, to represent the institution, to speak across constituencies, that opportunity to use the position to be a person that helps bring forward the aspirations and the goals is of great importance. The chancellor also has to build a team. Because, of course, an institution like this really isn't run by a single person. It really is run by a very large and important team. And that's been the focus of much of my early work, is bringing together the people that would be in those key roles. Then, as the chancellor, you help work with a team like any coach does. You're working together. You're trying to solve problems. Your energy comes towards those issues. And so I think in each of those ways, you have a major role. And you also have the opportunity to set a face you know, bring forward a face for the institution. You speak on their behalf.
What sort of scorecard? What are the metrics, or what's the philosophy or the policy? How do you go about picking those people on that team? And you're very much in the stages. You've got a couple of the fairly important hires, but you still have some very important ones to go. So we'll talk about that. But where do you start up sort of at the 30,000-foot level? Do you have a philosophy about the kind of people you want to hire?
I do. I think quite a bit about that. For me, a really important aspect of that leadership role is that the person has the character and the leadership qualities that will make their own team very excited to work with them. Integrity, high levels of leadership and responsibility go with any of those leadership positions in the institution. They also need to be people who love the collaborative nature of the university. It's a chaotic place, but you need to be able to enjoy bringing people together.
How about the inside-outside component of it? You're certainly from the outside and with relatively little, well, with no institutional history here. Appointing Jim Dean as your provost, and now David Ruth as the director of development, were inside hires. You still have a vice president of communications to hire and a vice chancellor for business and finance. How important is local knowledge, institutional history in hiring them, or do you feel that you've got Jim and David over there to give you that, to give you the inside point of view?
With all those hires, we actually didn't, I wouldn't consider them inside hires. We actually had full searches, national searches, and interviewed people that were both inside and outside. The goal in all those cases was to get the most skilled, the best person.
So the fact that they had an institutional knowledge, the fact that Jim Dean was a provost, pretty important role over there. If you're an outsider, what I'm hearing you say is that if someone else had had credentials equal to Jim Dean's, that the fact that he was of the institution was not a factor in his being hired?
Well, the fact that he's of the institution, of course, is who he is. He has an incredible knowledge and insight about the future of higher education that plays out in this place. But when we did the interview, and there was, of course, a wonderful search committee, they looked just as carefully as inside and outside candidates. I was so excited when I met Jim. He was just the right person for this job, and his inside understanding of the institution is wonderful. But really, quite honestly, we were looking for the best person. And I think for Jim, I think for David, we found those candidates. Maybe not surprising that they would be from Carolina. This is a fantastic place with a lot of talent. So it's been quite wonderful for me. But with each of these searches, we've really been saying, let's find the right talent that can help this institution move forward.
David Ruth is, in many respects, and those of us who've been here for a long time who've known Mr. Ruth and who knew Matt Kupek would say that David Ruth, in terms of his personality, is the anti of Matt Kupek. Matt was big, effusive, bold, former football player, big sort of inspirational, extroverted speaker. David Ruth operates on a quieter plane. Was that a factor in all of this, given some of the controversies that surrounded Matt when he left?
Honestly, I've never met Matt. Uh-huh. This my selection of David had really nothing to do with the prior holder of that position. I really was looking for the person that could really be right for this position right now and help take us forward. David brought such a depth of knowledge to this position. He knows how to work with people. He is a team builder of extraordinary capacity. So I think those were the issues that were top of mind for me and I think for the committee.
Now, when Matt Kupek was in South Building and had two jobs, he was both your communications director and he was your director of development. And there was a general sense that he was somewhat estranged from his staff that operated over on Franklin Street. Where are you going to put David Ruth?
Well, David has an office in South Building as well. He will also continue to have, you know, he'll share two offices. He'll be back and forth between where the rest of his development staff are and sitting in that main office very close by my office. I think it's really important that we have lots of interaction, but of course he's building a team, and that's important that he spend time there as well.
So you're going to have him, he'll be in both places.
That's right. We're splitting time back and forth.
So what are you looking for in a communications director.
Communications for universities has really changed so much just in the last 10 years. And it isn't just the birth of the whole digital world, but that's had a big influence on the way we communicate. But I believe to be really relevant in these times, we need to be exploiting our capacity to reach people through social media, through regular traditional media, through opportunities for opening forums. We have a wonderful journalism school that gives us lots of ideas. So this communication strategist needs to help us in many different realms.
Let's talk about practical matters. There is a widespread view among university watchers that the university has not managed its message very well. Are you aware of that?
I certainly heard that.
And so I'm not sure I heard much about getting the university's message right now.
Universities are large, complex organizations. We create and generate immense content. There are more discoveries and creative opportunities to talk about that's part of a main mission of communication. That needs to be important. We're out in the state doing things of immense good. We need to communicate about that. We're also welcoming the public into thousands of seminars. We need to communicate about that. We're trying to keep in contact with our alums, 290,000 of them, keep in contact with people around the world, prospective students, new faculty. So there's so many things that are going on in an institution. There isn't a single message. But there is a message of excellence, accessibility, and being a part of the world that is what you're communicating.
Every public relations person I know, including a lot of the media people who watched it, believe that Chancellor Thorpe, for example, should never have conducted a televised press conference to announce the firing of Butch Davis, that you don't call a press conference to announce firings where you're going to be on the defensive. You do that for hirings. Is that the sort of thing that you want your guy or your person, your woman, man or woman, to be tuned into?
Absolutely. The reason I try to keep this distinction is I do think you have to deal with crisis management, and that is a very important part of every university. But you're also dealing, as I say, with this content and this positive presentation of the work that happens here. I think you get in a problem if you think that your public affairs is only about crisis management, too. That would be a very narrow focus on what a complex organization like University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill would be. So I'm looking for all those skills with an expert that knows how to do them and, too, will know how to manage a team that can keep all of that going forward, interfacing with what is already a strong team here.
Is it important in this case, given what you said earlier about looking for merit, overall merit, what degree of importance do you attach to someone with a background at UNC?
Again, I think of this one as looking for the very best person in the nation that can help us. We're trying to build a new model for university strategic communications, and I think that's what we're looking for.
You've been listening to a WCHL News Special with Jim Hebner and UNC Chancellor Carol Folt. You can listen to this interview in its entirety on our website, chapelboro.com.